We've come now to the conclusion of our series on Forward. Throughout the month of January, as you all know, we've been studying a series of messages that were preached by Moses to the children of Israel. All of these messages are clearly found in the book of Deuteronomy, and we discovered that the name Deuteronomy literally means the second law. But we've also discovered through our series that it really was not the giving of a second law, but it was the reiteration. It was the once again reinforcing the original law of God that he gave to the children of Israel. Each message lays out God's directives of how they might live successfully in the promised land. We'll discover this morning now that Moses is now 120 years old. And it is time for him to pass the baton of leadership on to Joshua, who will ultimately lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, you may recall that Moses had been forbidden by God to enter the promised land because of his rage and outright disobedience when he violently struck the rock twice in the desert of Zin, which brought forth water at that time for the camp of Israel. God called him aside and said to him, because of your disobedience and because of your rage. You'll discover here in Numbers chapter 20. Matter of fact, let's look at it. Numbers chapter 20. He actually rails against the children of Israel. And it is as though God is saying, listen, you may have been called to be leader of these people for such a time and season, but these people are mine. And you do not speak to my kids like they're your kids. And God chastised them. When we read this here in the next few moments, what you'll discover is it seems rather benign. It seems like he's not all that angry. But when you read in the original language of the Hebrew, he is giving them a tongue lashing. He's being very angry with the children of Israel. And this displeases God. And in his anger, he strikes the rock when God tells him, you will not strike the rock this time as you did the last time. This time you're to speak to the rock. Let's catch up with the scriptures now. In Numbers chapter 20, starting with verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Now they're in this desert called the desert of Zin, Z-I-N, and they're without water, not only for themselves, but for their animals as well. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, this is where Moses begins to have an angry rage. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. I can't even imagine how disappointing this must have been to Moses. After 40 years of wandering with them in the wilderness, putting up with all their grumbling, complaining, and murmuring, God now tells them, because of your disobedience, and because of your lashing out in anger, I will not allow you to bring them into the Canaan land. I will not have the future of these people, nor of the land in which you're taking them, ruled by such tyrant kind of acts and acts of disobedience to God. So with the promised land now clearly in sight, it was now time for Moses then to step aside. And Joshua would take the reins of leadership. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 1. It says, then Moses went out and spake these words to all of Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I've commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now in Deuteronomy 34, the end of Moses' ministry here on earth is all spelled out. We find here in these portions of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 34, starting with verse 1. Here is the conclusion of Moses' life on this earth. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and of Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Now, if you were to go to the top of Mount Nebo today, it's just off on the lands there of what is now modern-day Jordan. And I've had the privilege over the years of going up to the top of Mount Nebo on a number of occasions. And if you get to the top, here's what you'll find. There is a spot and a placard like you find there that has arrows pointing out the various directions that Moses would have looked. And as he looks out, he would have seen to the south the city of Hebron. As he looked to the west, he would have seen all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Looking to the north, he would have seen the Galilee region all the way up to Lebanon and again out to the Mediterranean. And so from there, he could see all the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land that had been promised to these individuals that are now about to possess the land, to go in and take the very promise of God. Look at verse 4 now. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in Moab, as the Lord had said, and in verse 6, he buried him, that is, God buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. He had finished his earthly task that God had given to him, and now it was time for him to depart. And the Bible says he died, and it is interesting to note that God himself buried Moses. And when he buried Moses, he buried him in an undisclosed and unmarked place. I believe God did this to prevent any kind of a shrine or temple being built at the graveside of Moses, to which Israelites for generations to come would come and bow and worship there. Let me show you a modern example of that. Even after 3,000 years, the tomb of David is one of the most revered sites in all of Israel to this very day. And in this picture that you see on the screens right now, that is the tomb of David, and you'll see this Jewish man there leaning over it as he is praying, but the connection point is David. And for generations, 3,000 years, This very same site has been played out over and over and over. The first, you know, real king that stayed true in Israel, David. First was Saul, then David. And as David being their king, their leader, they revere him so highly. Now they come and worship at his grave. And I believe God was saying, you will not come and worship at the grave of Moses. As you go into the New Testament, you'll find that when Jesus came, they revered Moses and the law above the Messiah. And even during this time period, you can see that had there been a place for them to go and worship at the feet of the grave there of Moses, they would have done so. So God said, we'll set that aside. I will bury him, and no one will know where he is buried. There will be no worship there. Now, it's very interesting. When you go to the book of Jude, you'll discover that there was a battle that went on between Michael the great archangel and Satan, and this battle was over what? The body of Moses. So it's very interesting as you look through the scriptures to find there's always been this battle. Are you going to worship at the foot of a man or of God? And God said, there will be no place for you to come. My man, he has fulfilled his obligation, his role, but we're going to not mark his grave. Fast forward with me now to the border of the promised land. Joshua is the one that is now leading Israel. In Joshua chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set off from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a safe distance, or keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Now look at verse 4 once again. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. 31 days ago, we entered into a brand new year. The year 2021 is definitely new territory for each and every one of us. And like the children of Israel, we have never been this way before. None of us know what's going to happen in the next 11 seconds, let alone what is going to happen in the next 11 months of 2021. The reality is in life here that with all of our hopes and dreams that we have for this new year, none of us know what truly lies ahead. Thinking back on the year of 2020, a year ago, none of us had any clue of the impact of COVID-19, what it would have upon our nation, what it would have upon our world, what it would have upon us individually. You see, friends, I have come to see that life is not nearly as predictable as what we would like to think. We at times think that we know a plan, that we've got this plan, we're going to work our plan, and with or without God, we're going to get to our desired end. Joshua said, you've not been this way before. You do not know the way. You need to have the guidance of God, and that is going to be in the Ark of the Covenant, and he will lead the way. So life is not as predictable as one would like to think. Every new year, matter of fact, every new day is indeed brand new territory that is filled at times with many uncertainties and many questions. Though the way is unknown, however, I am so grateful this morning to know the promise of the Lord who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. at times in the twists and turns of life. And when you're uncertain and you're not sure exactly where you're at, you're not exactly sure about where you're going, what the next steps ought to be, he said, I'll make this promise to you, Joshua, and I will make this promise to the children of Israel. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Do not be afraid, but move forth knowing that I will lead you every step of the way. Furthermore, he promised then to guide and direct their footsteps as they would journey in this unfamiliar territory. Listen once again to what it says here in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests or the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and you are to do what? Say it, church. We are to follow it. Then you will know which way to go. By getting up, following after the ark, he says, then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. It was a time of uncertainty for Israel. After 40 years then of wandering, the children of Israel are now finally able to see the promised land with their very own eyes. What a sight it must have been. It was everything that God had promised and much, much more. I have crossed over the Allenby Bridge in between Israel and Jordan on various occasions. And every time that I've come across, there's something that stands out every single time. As you're driving through Jordan, coming from Amman, Jordan, coming to the west, coming to the Allenby Bridge, many times lined up the Allenby Bridge, there'll be trucks, all lined up, waiting to go into Israel to buy produce. You drive through the most God-forsaken looking land. There is nothing there, no shrubs, no trees. It is absolutely barren. And you get to the border there at the Jordan by the Allenby Bridge, and suddenly you start seeing fruit trees and you start seeing all kinds of wonderful things. The blessing of God. And I can only imagine, here they've been 40 years wandering, and now they see with their very own eyes the land that God is giving them that is flowing with milk and honey. Now, literally, that term, milk and honey, means it is flowing with the blessing of God. The fruit of the land is great, and so it is to this very day. And so now they're able to see it, and it's everything that they could have ever dreamt about, and so much more. Moses, however, is dead. Joshua is not proven himself yet in the eyes of the people as a competent leader. The Bible tells us that. On top of that, there are several major obstacles in the way in order for them to fully possess the land. First was a flooded Jordan River. Secondly, there was the walled city of Jericho. Now, friends, I've been to the Jordan River on various occasions. And I've seen the Jordan. I've actually baptized in the Jordan many times. Sometimes it has been nothing more than a shallow stream of muddy water. I've baptized in as little as 6 or 8 inches of water. And I would get them down into the water and their little faces would still be sticking out. And I'd stick their head down in the mud just like that. And they would honestly come up with these big clumps of mud on the back of their head. But I got them baptized all the way. And I've also been there when we wanted to do baptisms, but the waters were so high and the banks were running over that it would have been impossible to ever baptize safely in such a fast-flowing stream. And this was the case at this moment. The banks of the river were overflowing. Israel had never been this way before. It was all new territory, and it must have seemed very discouraging to them at that moment. We need to get from this side of the Jordan to the other side of the Jordan. We're all packed up. We're all ready to go. We're following after the ark, but what do we do next? It was a time of great uncertainty. Moses is dead. Joshua's unproven. The swelling Jordan River's in front of them. The impenetrable walls of Jericho are ahead of them. Friends, I believe that the enemy of our soul likes to take advantage of situations just like this to keep us from pursuing and possessing the promises of God, and wants us to tuck tail and turn back and say, it's just too difficult, it's too hard. Friends, I believe that we too are living in some very uncertain days. What is the economy going to do? Will it be a bull or bear market? Should I buy or should I sell? Should I invest or should I divest? Will my company survive or will it close its doors? Should I get the vaccination or not? And the list goes on and on. There's all of this stirring out there of all these things that are ahead of us, and we're wondering, what is the future going to be? In the midst of Israel's fear, in the midst of their uncertainties, God gave Joshua a plan for victory. And I want you to know, in every situation, if you'll quiet your heart, God always has a plan, and the plan is for victory. The devil will never have the upper hand on the child of God. Never, ever, ever. He said, wherever you go, you can know this. I will have gone on ahead of you. And so God is on ahead of them. Listen to what it says now in Joshua chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. So after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and you are to follow it. Out of faith, you need to get up and you need to start following after the Ark of the Covenant. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. You've never been to this part of the world. You have never been to this part or this region of Israel. You've never been here before of Canaan. You've never been here. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, friends, God always has a plan. And I'm glad that no matter the situation, God always has a plan, and that plan, as I've already stated, is for victory. However, if we are to walk in God's plan of victory, he said, you must consecrate yourselves. The King James Version says, you must sanctify yourselves. Now, the term to consecrate or sanctify means to separate and to dedicate. It's not only separation, but it's also to dedicate. You know, in times of confusion, uncertainty, friends, I believe that we must get away from the crowd and we must quiet our hearts so that we might hear the plan of God. If we're going to know and walk in God's ways in the year of 2021, we must be people that are consecrated to God. Jesus is an example of this and in all things. Before choosing his apostles, he spent all night in prayer. Before he went to the cross of Calvary, we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in each case, what he does, he separates himself and dedicates his mind, his hearts, his thoughts to find out the heart and the mind and the will of God. Joshua commanded the people, you must sanctify themselves. You must sanctify yourselves. No one else can sanctify you. No one else can do that for you. Your mother, your father, you might have godly lineage and thank God for it and you've been blessed to have it. But you must, of your own accord, individually, you must sanctify yourselves. And Joshua said, no one can do this for you, so you must sanctify, you must separate yourselves. And friends, I find without any fear of contradiction, I believe the biggest mistakes recorded in God's word and the biggest mistakes we'll ever make in our lives is because we have failed to inquire of God. And I believe that in those moments, we think we know the way. We've got a plan. We're working our plan and nothing's going to stand in the way and we're going to do this thing on our own. But I declare to you today, we've not been this way before. We do not know what traps lie ahead, but God does. God alone knows the way and he's going to lead us and he's promised, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And so God, then without contradiction, he has a plan for every single life. And he said, I will lead you on. He has a plan for the year of 2021. And I believe that God's plan, regardless of what others might be saying, I believe that God's plan is an incredible, marvelous plan, and He's going to do some things that we have never seen before. And in order for us to see what God is wanting to do, He says there's only one way you'll experience the Jordan miraculously opening up. There's only one way you will see the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and that is if you sanctify yourself, get away from the crowd, silence the crowd and the voices of the enemy and all the enemy talk of the day. You need to get alone with God, sanctify yourself, and hear what God says about 2021. Now, He said in all of this, He said, you don't know where you're at. You're not sure where you're headed. You don't know, but I do. So you must follow the ark. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and you are to follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Then you will know which way to go. When you're following after the presence of God and following after the ark, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But then He gives this word of warning. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Now, friends, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. It was His presence in the camp in the 40 years of their wandering in the wilderness. The Bible says above the Ark of the Covenant and above the tent of His testimony that there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This tent, the tent of the tabernacle, housing the Ark of the Covenant, was right in the middle of the camp. Not to be on the outside, edges somewhere, or not to be in a far corner. It was always to be set up right in the middle. It was also to be facing towards the east, where the rising sun is, which is a sign of hope. Friends, when you get up in the morning and it may be dark out yet, and you look off to the east and you see that great ball of fire rising there in the east, it's a reminder that God is with you and that God is for you. And no matter what's ahead of you, God is there and He's already working out all things together for our good. So the ark then represents the presence of God. And it always has and always will. And so God Himself was going to lead the children of Israel. And all they would have to do is follow. Simple enough. Follow after the ark. You don't have to know. All you have to do is trust. They were to keep a space, however, of about 1,000 yards between themselves and the ark. Now, friends, I believe that this distance was to show honor and respect to God. Though God is loving and God is incredibly kind, I assure you this morning that He will not be treated as common. There's a story in the scriptures about Uzzah. Uzzah was following behind the Ark of the Covenant when it was being pulled on an ox cart. And the Bible says the oxen stumbled. When the oxen stumbled, suddenly the ark began to rock back and forth, something like this. And Uzzah reaches out to stable it, and he is struck dead. And some might say, well, you know, that he was trying to do a good thing. He was trying to keep it from tipping over. First of all, it was never meant to be carried on an ox cart. It was meant to be carried by the priests. The presence of God is not something that we can take and sublet to someone else. We must carry the presence of God. And we must bring the presence of God into His house and into our culture and into this season of life. And so as He reaches out and He touches the Ark of the Covenant, and when He does so, you know what happened. He was struck dead. 1,000 yards also allowed the followers of the Ark, lest they would become confused and just start following after the crowd. They could actually see at that moment, they could see the Ark of the Covenant off in the future, and the priests that were carrying it and the shofars that at times would be blown and the flags of the nations that were represented by the 12 tribes. They could see all of this as they were marching on. You know, one of the most confusing places on this planet that I've ever been is in the old city of Jerusalem. There is the bazaar, there's the market of the old city. And it seems as though it's elaborate, that it goes in every direction. There's no rhyme or reason to it, at least that I've ever been able to figure out. And so whenever I go into with our groups and taking people to the Middle East now for many years, whenever we go into the old city, I always stop before we get into the bazaar area. And I tell them, you're going to enter into a place that is so confusing. You're going to see market after market after market, one right next to the other. You're going to go by meat markets, and it's going to be meat market, meat market, meat market, meat market. One is going to look like another, and it's so confusing. The thing you need to remember is keep your eyes upon Danny. Danny is our guide. Danny is one of the best guides in all of Israel. He's a Yemenite Jew from South Yemen, and he knows the Bible inside out, frontwards, backwards, upside down, and all that. It's phenomenal the way this guy leads. And so he'll take us through the old city. And what he'll do is he'll either have a flag in his hand. If he doesn't have a flag, he'll take, you know, an umbrella. If it's been raining, he'll have the umbrella up high. And if he has neither of those, he'll take his hat off and wave his hat high so that everyone can see all the way back, because sometimes there's 65 up towards 70 of us, and that makes a long column of people trying to make it through a very narrow, little narrow passageway, and he'll be waving like this. All you have to do is keep your eye on Danny, on his hat, his umbrella, on his flag, whatever he's holding, and if you'll do that, you'll safely make it through this labyrinth, and you'll safely make your way all the way through, and he'll bring us back out into the streets. Every once in a while, I find that individuals in this column of individuals, you know, they're making their way, this long line of people, they'll start following the person in front of them rather than following Danny. And suddenly, someone will make a wrong turn, and now they're off, and that whole bunch that's following that individual is off, lost somewhere, and now I'm running all over the city of Jerusalem trying to find them. He said, keep your eyes on the ark. When the ark moves, you move. When the ark stops, you stop. If the ark turns left, you turn left. If the ark turns right, you turn right. If the ark is at the river's edge and the feet of the priests carrying this heavy chest called the Ark of the Covenant, if when they step their feet on the water, don't be concerned, because God is going to do some amazing things before your eyes today. Following after the ark in the presence of God, being in the presence of God, friends, is one of the most exciting things that you will ever experience in life. I hear people tell me, you know, well, the Christian life is a boring looking life to me. And I look at them and I say, so going out on the weekend and getting drunk and barfing all the way home, puking on yourself and in your car and everything else, that's really cool. That's living. I could give that up any day of the week for what Jesus has to offer. Amen. He says, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Friends, the year of 2021 represents new territory. We started out this year, and we started out the month of January with a series titled Forward, because I believe that with all of my heart, God's will and desire for every single individual, as well as the corporate body of Oak Creek Assembly of God and of the Big C Church, all of us together, all believers in this United States and around the world, is that in the year 2021, we go forward. We don't stop. We move forward, and we move forward with God. Yet is in the midst of a time of brand new territory. Unquestionably, it is an uncertain time. But I assure you, God always has a plan. And in order to step into the plan of God, we must consecrate ourselves, which means separate ourselves away from the crowd. You need to get away from social media. You need to get away from what's going on television and the printed press at times. Now, I believe in, you know, taking in news and knowing and being aware of things, no doubt about that. But listen, when God speaks, it trumps whatever is being said. no matter what the press is saying, no matter what the news reports are, God always trumps it all. Therefore, we should consecrate ourselves, and we need to know when we need to just get away from others, get alone with God, and hear what He has to say about our day, our life, our journey. Consecrate yourself. And then He said, follow the ark. You know, the following the ark, that simply means is for us in the New Testament, living here today in the year 2021, it means that we get to know God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible has a lot to say about itself and how, if we will take these words and apply them to our lives, God will lead us through. There may be death on all sides, and we're going to walk through in life. There may be trouble on every side, but God has a wonderful way about just bringing you right through it all. You know, one of the things I find so encouraging when I read through the account of the 10 plagues that ultimately caused Pharaoh to change his mind and allow the children of Israel to go free. The children of Israel had been given by Pharaoh many, many years before, like 400 years before, given them the portion of land called Goshen. And what's interesting, the plagues that were absolutely making life miserable for the Egyptians, for the Israelites in Goshen, they were not experiencing the same. And I believe that we can live in times of judgment and only see judgment with our eyes, not experience, not be under the judgment of God. And I believe we are in those moments where we're going to see some difficult and hard times round about us. And we must be men and women that have tuned our ear to heaven. And no matter what's going on in the world, we know God has a separate plan for His people and that we live according to God's plan. Follow the ark. That means follow the word. Get into the word every day. If you're not into the Word yet for the year of 2021, you need to get into the Word. You need to allow it to be part of your life every single day. If you have a hard time reading, listen, you can get, there's the one, your Bible that's online. They'll read it to you. And all you have to do is listen. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So He can take the Word as you hear it and begin to build faith within you. You need to have the Word. But also you need to hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, His whisper is so sweet, so quiet, and yet it can change the trajectory of your life forever. I was 17 years of age, planning a life of doing what my family was doing, and that was business. The age of 17, bowing at a folding chair in a tent at Lake Richmond, just outside of Aberdeen, South Dakota. With all these other plans, suddenly I heard just the still small voice of God. He has simply said, Jerry, I have need of you. And I thought to myself, how could I ever turn down the God of all the universe? Yet a whisper, that whisper changed everything in my life from that moment on. Never to go back to the business life other than just during college times and whatnot, keeping, you know, things together the best I could. The still small voice of God, when He whispers in your ear, it's quiet, it's sweet, but if you obey, it's packed with incredible power. and it will change your trajectory. It'll change your life. It'll set you on a brand new path. And I believe that this year of 2021 is going to separate the sheep from the goats. I believe we're living in that time where we're going to see a separation. There are those that sit side by side. The Bible tells us that at the return of Christ, at the rapture, two are going to be in the fields. They're going to be harvesting side by side. They've been talking all along, this natural, you know, just every conversation about the things, you know, of harvesting, the things about life. It seemed like they're just the same, but one is taken and the other is left. Two are going to be at the job. They're at the grinding mill. One is taken, one is left. Two are in bed sleeping, living at the same address, having the same name, wearing the same wedding bands. One is taken, one is left. That still small voice of God and your obedience to it is going to make all the difference in your daily life here, but it'll make a difference for all of eternity, both in your life and what God can do through your life. Learn to hear that still small voice. Now I declare to you today, God has a plan for your life for 2021. And it's a time to consecrate ourselves, hear his voice, obey his voice, follow his direction. He said, I will show you the way. Do not walk to the left or to the right. Matter of fact, he said, I'm going to go on before you. But you know what? He also promised this in another portion of scripture. He said, I'll be your rear guard as well. He's going to be on all sides. He's going to protect you. He's going to walk you through. And that's the kind of relationship that he wants with you. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, Lord, we see all the chaos round about us. Chaos that is at various points and times, greater prominence in our city, in our cities nearby. Lord, some of this stuff kind of comes, it ebbs and flows, but you've got a plan for your people in the midst of what some have said is the most uncertain time in a decade or a century even. Lord, we're so glad that we can follow you. So glad that you will lead us. You'll show us the way. You will say no. You will say yes. You will say, don't say that. Do not get into the fray. Do not type that. And other times you will say, you must speak up and you must type. Help us, Lord, I pray, to know the times and the seasons that we're always in step with you. Not getting ahead of the Ark of the Covenant, not getting ahead, but allowing you to show us the way, because we've never been this way before. This is all new to us. And I pray, Lord, your guidance upon your children. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say today, and for those of you that are joining us online, you'd say, you know, I know that this is a very unique time in world history. And everything about it shows that time is short. And I know that eternity is long. It's time for me to get right with God. And right now where you're at, in your home, gathered around with family or friends in this moment, you too can make the same decision these friends are going to make here by saying, Jesus, I've made up my mind. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of trying to wander about and find my own way. I give you my past with all of its mess, and I give you the future. And if that's the desire of your heart today, I want you to just pray this prayer from your heart and say, Jesus, I give you my life today. I'm tired of trying to make my own ways. I believe you have a plan for my life. You've got a plan for my future. And I can trust you and I can trust the plan you have. So I surrender my life to you today. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow the ark of God, the presence of Jesus Christ in my heart and my life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. I'd love to pray for you, especially those of you that are saying, I sense the ark of God is moving, and I don't want to mess up. I don't want to miss out. You sense that God is leading you into something, directing your life. And I want to pray that you will have that assurance that you're following after Him. And if you would like prayer for that, we're going to just have them sing that song one more time. I want you to come, just line up here. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask Pastor John to pray over you and ask that this would be so clear you'd hear the voice of God and know the direction that He is leading you in, and that your steps, as the Bible said, would be ordered to the Lord, and He will guide and direct and lead you. If you need that special prayer today, you come as they sing this chorus one more time. Pastor John is going to come. He's going to pray and bless you and ask God's blessing upon your life and dismiss us together.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word that we have heard today. Lord, you said that you are the good shepherd and that we were the sheep. Lord, in and of our own, we don't know where to go. We don't know what is up next. We've not been this way before. And so, Lord, help us to follow you, the good shepherd, closely. Lord, help us to listen to that still, small voice. Thank you that you are faithful. Lord, I lift up each one here today, Lord. They are facing decisions. Maybe it's with a relationship. And Father God, let our answer always be yes, and to follow you into what is good, into what is best. Lord, for some here this morning, they are facing a career decision. Lord, maybe everything is stable at their work, and yet they feel a stirring in their soul. But there is a better fit, there's a better opportunity, and Lord, help them to step out in faith today. Lord, for some, it's going to be a matter of where they live, a home, or maybe a community in the area. Lord, we listen to your voice. Lord, for some, it's going to be our ministry, our serving. Lord, thank you that you created us, you wired us. Lord, you know how we function best. And so again, we want to listen to that still small voice. God, thank you that you lead us. God, you know the future. God, your plans are always best. Lord, so help us to always say yes to you. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in this year ahead. We believe it's going to be great. And so with faith and peace in our hearts, we say amen.